It's Marketplace Tech for February 6th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. There are those who think that fighting for your online privacy is a battle that has already been lost, but others are still fighting it. Mozilla, creator of the web browser Firefox, wants to start a conversation about our data. It partnered with a Berlin-based nonprofit called Tactical Technology Collective to create an exhibition recently housed here in New York City called The Glass Room, where I got a tour from Mozilla's Yasha Kekas-Wolf.
Mozilla will continue to push forward this education that the internet needs to be healthy, and there are ways that as organizations we can support it, better encryption, et cetera, et cetera. In addition, as individuals, we can choose to take micro actions that can actually contribute to a healthier internet, like choosing to turn off location services on my iPhone, which I have.
Mozilla and its partners are planning to take the Glass Room to several cities this year to start a conversation with users about the implications of their online behavior. It's full of thought-provoking pieces, a scale model of Mark Zuckerberg's $40 million real estate in Palo Alto, including the neighboring homes he bought around his own house to get more privacy. Funny, coming from a guy who claimed in 2010 that the age of privacy was over. Another piece, a set of seven huge bound books filled with 4.6 million LinkedIn user passwords that were pilfered in a hack in 2012.
When you look through it and you physically see the similarities to people's passwords and the simplicity of them, it's pretty stunning.
Bronaler, Bronova, Bronump 13, Bronsk, Break, Breast. It's a lot of breasts.
Did I find my old password? Yes, I did, or at least a version of it. And for the record, my password has nothing to do with human anatomy. Another piece combines Kanye West designs plus China plus Nike plus the dark web. It adds up to big questions about shopping with an algorithm.
So we're looking at a clean white table, and sitting on the clean white table is an orange EMS box. This is actually a box that's been shipped from China in particular, and to the right of it are a pair of knockoff Nike Yeezys.
Wow. I mean, they look pretty real to me, but they're knockoffs.
They look pretty real. Here's the fascinating story behind them. This is actually an exhibition created by an organization that went out, trained an algorithm to go and purchase.
Yeah, the random darknet shopper,
So clearly you've been using the random darknet shopper for yourself.
I haven't, but I've heard of it. Yeah.
What's fascinating about this particular exhibition is that it was running in, and this is actually ordered from it, first and foremost, and it was running in a museum in Switzerland, and the algorithm itself was actually arrested by the police. They came in because the botnet had been going out and buying, like, fake IDs and passports and drugs and all kinds of other things. So the police didn't know what
breaking,
to do.
Was it breaking a law there or not?
It was breaking many laws there, but it was an algorithm. And it kind of brings that question of, well, who's really responsible for what, right? Yeah. We see this in California, where I happen to live.
Also, how do you put cuffs on an algorithm? That's another question.
That's a great question, right? you see companies making decisions about autonomous cars and autonomous cars being on the road. Like, who's actually in charge? Who's actually responsible for? And where's the information associated with what is making the decisions? Like, we don't know in all cases. So being informed that these types of actions actually take place, and there's a line that's pretty hard to understand between the person and potentially an algorithm making a decision on their behalf or on its own, something that we all need to be a little bit more conscientious of.
Mozilla's Yasha Kekas-Wolf, you can learn more at theglassroomnyc.org. We're going to stick with our data and privacy topic for a few more minutes and hear from a coder who is building tech products and thinking about all of this. Saran Yitbarak is the founder of the programming community Code Newbie. She also sets up privacy workshops. Saran, thanks for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
You are an organizer, but what have you realized about your own data? What did you learn in this process that made you go, whoa, I'm actually really bad at this?
Yes. So one thing that I realized is, as a developer, I think that we have a tendency to say, let's collect all the data that we possibly can and then later on figure out what we want to do with it and if we really need it. And so for me, it made me realize, holy crap, I have lots of spreadsheets with people's email addresses, and I have text files, and I have lots of services that I use. And it's not so much that any of these are particularly vulnerable or not encrypted or anything like that. It was just the fact that I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't thought about the fact that I'm slowly creating my own little personal database of people with certain agendas or interests, and that that could potentially be not a good thing, you know. Mm. And it wasn't so much that I was doing wrong things. It's just that I wasn't thinking about how I might be exposing different people or different groups.
What is it that we're giving up our data and our privacy for sometimes willingly? I mean, you hint at it in your description of being a developer.
Yeah.
Is it this idea of like increased convenience, better products? What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's two sides to that. I think that for product creators, I think we're giving it up for power. You know, the more data we have, the more business models we can come up with, the more ways we can trade that in for cash. As users, I think that we're giving it up for convenience. You know, when I think about the tools that I use, that, for example, Google's a pretty popular one, I think. And so for that one, you know, it's all an ad network. And so there isn't anything, you know, terribly malicious about getting ads that serve you, but just the fact that a lot of the tools kind of, it's one big ecosystem, and you're kind of trapped into that to an extent. You know, the more you use it, the less likely you are to leave.
And the intent of the advertiser could be malicious could be trying to take advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, Saran Yabarik is the founder of the programming community Code Newbie and organizer of the tech meetup Make a Diff. Saran, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And you know how computers have gotten smaller, faster, and more productive at a staggering rate. Well, have you ever thought about what that kind of innovation acceleration might look like in a car? Well, a 2017 Ford Mustang should cost about $4,500, go 0 to 60 in 0.0034 seconds, and get 3.6 million miles per gallon. All of this according to the site Jalopnik. More of that wishful thinking at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.